Jesus Christ, I've almost done my back in there, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I left my coat here from last time. My God, some bloke was trying to sell me a coffin. That's the last thing I need.
Abysmal. Anyway, today's case, a ghost story about an American ship named the Mary Celeste. Ooh. You ever been on a ghost ship?
No. And after this story, I don't think I'm ever going to want to go on a ghost ship.
The ship set sail from New York City to Genoa, Italy, and on board were seven crewmen, Captain Benjamin Spooner Briggs, his wife Sarah, and their daughter, two-year-old Sophia. Captain Briggs was quoted saying, "Our vessel is in beautiful trim, and I hope we shall have a fine passage, but I have never been in her before and I can't say how she'll sail. We seem to have a very good mate and steward, and I hope we shall have a pleasant voyage." There was heavy weather for 2 weeks, and the last entry of the ship recorded was at 5 a.m. on November 25th.
10 days later, on December the 5th, the Digratia Brigantine, a British vessel, was about 400 miles east of the Azores when they spotted the abandoned Mary Celeste. The captain of the Digratia, David Morehouse, was surprised to see a ship without anyone guiding or leading it. The Mary Celeste left New York City 8 days before the Digratia, and by that time, it should have already arrived in Genoa, Italy. So the Digratia decided to sail in that direction to see if they could offer any help. When they got on board the abandoned Mary Celeste, they searched the ship and found that the ship's charts had been tossed, but the crewmen's belongings were still intact in their quarters. Captain Morehouse looked at the ship's daily logs, and the last entry was made at 8 a.m. on November the 25th. The only things missing were a lifeboat, navigation book, and register. The bottom of the ship was filled with 3.5 feet of water, but the barrels of alcohol, roughly 1,700 barrels, were still intact, and there was about 6 months' supply of food and water.
After finding and trying to salvage the Mary Celeste, the Digratia crew sailed 800 miles to Gibraltar, where a court convened a salvage hearing, but the attorney suspected foul play and mischief and decided to investigate further. After more than 3 months, the court found no evidence of foul play. Eventually, the salvagers received a payment, but only 1/6 of the $46,000 for which the ship and its cargo had been insured, suggesting that the authorities were not entirely convinced of the Digratia crew's innocence. Apparently, the crew was split in half, so half were on board the Mary Celeste and half on the Digratia. After they arrived to the port in Gibraltar, it is believed the crew was shaken and they refused to remember what had happened on the journey to the port. Once they got off the ship, they swore they would never step foot back on board.
So, initially, I'm not gonna lie, this is a bizarre case. I thought, there's only one theory in my head when I first read through the story, and that was this Digratia crew jumped on board, killed, got rid of everyone because they knew that it had like 1,700 tons of alcohol or whatever. Like, that's gotta be worth quite a lot of money. So I thought they've come on board, they've almost like pirated it, hijacked it, killed them. Because like you said, everything in there, everything was on the board except for the lifeboats. So that's the only thing that sort of goes against my theory. Because if you were just to kill them, you would just like kill them and chuck them off, right? Would you put them in a lifeboat? Would you get rid of the lifeboat to make it seem like they tried to get away? Do you know what I mean?
That's probably why the main theory for me is pointing towards ghost ship.
The ghost ship. Well, you would be a terrible ghost actor. What do you think off the bat, without going through any of the discuss theories yet?
It sounds like, you know, a little bit of an insurance scam or something. Ooh. Yeah, because they got 1/6 of the $46,000 for the ship and its cargo, which had been insured.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's maybe a little like plan has gone down here.
Maybe they were expecting to get the full amount, right? So we have to remember they were expecting to get the $46,000.
Which it would have been so much money back in, what was it, 1872?
Right now, it sounds like chump change, but we got inflation and we're not going to get into a financial battle with you lot. But let me just say that $46,000 back then.
Is it chump change now?
For the fellas, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But back then, millions. Okay, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of insurance scam potential here. Anyways, let's talk about some of the theories that people have come up with and people have theorized. Theory number one, titled Crazed Mutiny. Now, this theory is all about the men on board drinking a bunch of the alcohol and then becoming violently drunk, right?
We've all been there.
Maybe not violently drunk. The Attorney General believes that there were some strange marks found on the ship where it looked like individuals had been using an axe. Okay, now why would an individual be using an axe? But it was later revealed that the bloodstains that they thought were bloodstains weren't actually bloodstains. It was actually just like natural wear and tear. And I'm not really too sure how that works. Like, what natural wear and tear looks like bloodstains? Yeah, I can't say I've never seen that before. But anyways, look, that's what the Attorney General said. But not only that, we have to think about, let's say someone was on board, right? And he's killed everybody except for himself. And then he's jumped on the lifeboat because the lifeboat was missing. And then what? Like, what was the game plan there?
Yeah, because it was really bad weather. We're talking crazy seas out here.
Yeah, it was
not bad. Something a lifeboat could survive.
Yeah, but then just also, like, what was the point in killing them? It's not like you've come away with something. If you go on the lifeboat, you're going to die on the lifeboat. You've killed everyone. Surely there would be, like, bloodstains and stuff like that on board. And like bait ones, not just ones from wear and tear.
Crazier things have happened.
It has. I don't know. I don't see the benefit. I don't see the benefit of this theory. I don't understand like one guy just losing his mind, getting violently drunk, just killing everyone on board, and then jumping on lifeboat.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, like one guy is not going to kill 10 people. They're at least going to somehow
fight back. Unless he is just some hench donny.
Or an assassin. And he did it all in silence.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Okay, moving on. Give me the next one, Chip.
Theory number two. We're going to talk about some criminals here, my friend. Some believe that North African pirates could have attacked the ship and the crew and raided the ship, stole everything that's on it. First of all, doesn't really make sense because nothing on the ship was actually stolen. So if they did do that, we're talking about the worst pirates in the history of pirating.
But you have heard of me.
I mean, it's interesting that this even went as far as being a theory because, like, the whole point of pirating is either to take control of a vessel and then command a ransom to have it back.
Yep.
There was nobody on board. The second thing is, all the alcohol was still there. Well, the majority of the alcohol was still there.
Yeah, and listen, come on. 1872, you party, you attack a border, you board a boat, attack it. You are taking the alcohol, 100%. Yeah. And you're drinking it while you're doing it. There is another theory that goes along with the lines of the Die Gratia crew may have attacked the board and killed everyone on it, maybe thrown them overboard, and then pretended that they found the Mary Celeste so they could claim, you know, the riches from the salvage.
Mate, that's where I'm going with this one. That's the one I like the most,
And the captain did know, the captain of the Die Gratia knew that the route that the Mary Celeste was taken. So there's not, you know, there's a good foundation for this theory there. It works out, things are looking good. And finally, some people even claim that Captain Briggs was in on it himself. He faked his death so he could benefit from the salvage of the Mary Celeste, get that bread up. He was like a co-conspirator.
So this particular theory would have to imply that the Die Gratia pulls up, right? They see each other and then They're both in on this scam.
They know what's happening.
On this scam. Look, me and my family are going to pretend to be dead. You're going to take this back and you're going to get the salvage money from it, any insurance, anything like that. You can take it all. But has anyone seen any of these family? If they all went on the lifeboat, you'd assume that they knew they were going to get back safely.
It's very possible that, you know, they could have boarded the Die Gratia afterwards if they were in on it. The captain knew. Takes them in. Gets them back ashore, they leave. Everyone thinks they're dead.
Yeah.
They killed the rest of the crew. Nobody knows the captain.
The thing is, they're far away from shore, though. Like, they're not close to anywhere, so it would have been, like, quite a long journey to go, drop them off, come back, get the boat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but they did say half the crew went on board and half the crew didn't. Did half the crew stay out there on board just to mine the ship, make sure it stays in the right place? Then the other half takes the family, ditches them, say, you guys stay safe here. Board comes back and then they find the boat. I don't know.
It's a difficult one, Jimmy.
I don't mind that one, actually, now that you've said that.
It's interesting. Like, it's a bit fun, isn't it? Little cold conspirator case.
Yeah.
They were all in on it together. Some serious money was made, some cheddar. And if that is true, then fair play. Because they've never been caught and they've done it such a good job that everyone's calling it still, a ghost ship story.
And we're here in 2022 still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, damn, that was some insurance claim.
Chip, the next theory, and I know you're going to like this one. Let me tell you about this one. Alien abduction. Yes, ooh. As with almost every mystery, there is always the alien element. This was like the believed story back then, right? Many believe that the Mary Celeste is ghost-like, so it has a resident ghost on it. And they believe that aliens turned up and snatched the crew away. They support this theory because the ship was obviously left in really, really good condition.
I get it. So the aliens, they took everyone on board and then they took the lifeboat to become in peace.
That is the reason why I think the alien one is just, other than the fact that, well, I'm just assuming aliens came down and just whisked people away. But other than that, what, do they also think, oh, we should probably take the lifeboat so we can convince everyone that they just jumped on a lifeboat and pissed off?
There's always just one UFO theory, just some by some moron, and he's going, you know what? There's
stick nothing, some aliens in
nothing
this.
Nothing else. It's got to be the little green men. Next up, it's a huge sharing. No, literally, colossal squid.
By the way, these things are absolutely massive. Yeah. Here's a picture of like a size reference. We're not just talking about like, oh, wow, that's a big squid. No, it is colossal.
Yep. Zoologists call this deep sea gigantism. And that is where the, you know, the fishes that are floating down at the bottom of the deep of the ocean are a lot bigger than the ones in the shallow parts.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons why you have a fear of the ocean, right?
Yeah, because there's colossal squids cutting about there.
We've seen it already. People have gone down there. They get footage of like animals, and everyone's constantly going, we've never seen what one of those are. We've never seen it. There is so much of the ocean that we've never explored. But the theory about this squid is that it's eaten.
It's eaten the crew. If that squid turns up, I swear to God, the whole crew's eating calamari tonight.
No, it's true. These things are massive, but here it says that they believe that the deep sea creatures have also been known to survive for 5 years at a time without feeding due to their slower metabolism. So surely that would imply, though, that they don't actually need to just consume 10 people.
Yeah, but maybe it's finally come up. It's its time.
It's hungry.
It's come up from the deep sea and it's gone, Mary Celeste, come to me. And it's just yammed on everyone. Yum, yum, yum.
I'm not buying this one either, Chip. Let's move on to the next one. A natural disaster. Now, there's these things called water spouts. There'll be an image in front of you now, and they are legit, right? These things are actually pretty scary. It's essentially a tornado at sea, but it just seems a little bit more concentrated, if you know what I mean. Now, what they do believe might have been the case is that the crew thought that they were gonna die to one of these. You know, there was bad weather. If one of these things popped out of nowhere and hit the boat, they'd have been dusted. So preemptively, they all jump in the lifeboat and they try and get away. But my question is, if you jump in the lifeboat and you go away, now you're just in a smaller vessel, more likely to die to one of these water spouts. An interesting thing is maybe not one of these water spouts, right? But they reckon it could have been something called a sea quake. Now, the US Naval Research Laboratory, the area around the Azores, so around those islands near Portugal, is one of the most seismically active in the world. So there's constantly them tectonic plates doing up a madness, okay? And there's evidence that an 8.5 magnitude earthquake occurred within a month after the Mary Celeste was found abandoned. Now, obviously, that doesn't make sense because it's a month after, but what they reckon is that it's possible that there could have been a foreshock, like a smaller one just before that, and it went and struck the boat. But my big thing is,
like a pre-quake.
Yeah, pretty much. But my thing is that then surely you would have seen damage on the boat.
It came out unscathed, like that's what they say, right? It's unscratched.
Yeah,
there was no stuff's damage on board. It's just the crew in the lifeboat that's missing.
I think
so. I'm not really on board with no sea quake.
But the one thing that maybe pointed towards it is the fact that if it did just even shake the ship a little bit violently, there might have not been any damage, you know, really obvious damage. But there were 9 barrels that were discovered empty. Did they get cracked open and they were thingy? But 9 barrels, I reckon.
9 barrels of alcohol?
Yeah.
Crews just probably drank them.
That's what I'm thinking. Seriously. So, again, natural disaster. Not for me.
But that does bring us on to our next possible theory.
And this is a big one.
This is the theory of an alcohol explosion. Now, due to the amount of alcohol that was actually on board this ship, the alcoholic fumes may have escaped. Now, remember, How many barrels were on that boat, my friend?
1,700.
Yeah, that's a lot of barrels. Now, the alcoholic fumes could have escaped, which could have caused a small explosion or led the crew to believe that an explosion was imminent, which obviously, if you think, oh shit.
This thing's about to blow.
What are you going to do? You're going to go and get on the lifeboat. Even if you're in bad weather, you can't be on an exploding ship, then you are 100% dead.
Now, this one is actually probably one of the better theories. The theory is that they tied themselves to the ship, which again would make sense because they want to stay in the right area of the ship. Now,
yep.
Whether that rope broke away or they were just there for so long, I don't know. But again, there was no evidence of the lifeboat being tied to the ship. So did it break away? Was
the, maybe the rope just... Maybe the rope detached, and obviously if the boat carries on sailing forward, maybe it was moving a little bit too fast for the lifeboat, because they did say the boat was constantly sailing forward.
But surely that's something that they would have known. If you had cargo of 1,700 barrels of alcohol, surely that's something you would have been aware of, is the fact that these fumes could explode. Did they just have a eureka moment that, oh shit, this thing could actually just blow
up? I definitely do believe that there was an issue with the ship. There is no reason for them to all go jump into lifeboats. Captain's obviously gone, look, you need to get in the lifeboats now or we're all dead. Something must have happened on the ship. Maybe it was a crazed drunk that started swinging his axe about.
Everybody get off the ship. So the Reddit theory is that Captain Briggs was a very religious guy. This guy, yeah, he had, he was into his religion, and he would constantly quote things from the Bible. For example, one of the things that he was apparently quite fond of quoting was chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, which read, "But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? And he said, I do. I am angry enough to die." So that's something that he would quote quite regularly. And so the theory is that, and again, I'm not too sure if I'm down with this theory, he just had like this moment of mania, this religious mania, I guess you could say. It was all written in like these diary entries. And there was a historian named John Gilbert Lockhart concluded that Briggs, Captain Briggs, just somehow just went into like a fit of rage and then just started killing everyone and hunting all the members of the crew down and then finally taking his own life.
Mm.
And again,
still don't explain the lifeboat though, unless he tried to escape.
It doesn't explain the lifeboat. And then also, again, where are the blood stains? Where is the evidence? Did he kill everyone, get rid of the blood stain, move the bodies off the ship and then kill himself? I don't know. It's a bit of a reach. Now, something that we have to say is that the historian that came with these comments, John Gilbert Lockhart, he actually interviewed some of the family of the captain, or like extended family, and they just said like, no, that wasn't his character. He wasn't like that. And so subsequently, he's actually issued a public apology to say, look, I take it all back. I don't actually think that that's what happened. So... I'm not really feeling that theory.
He bottled it. Now, this is the final theory. We need to fast forward a little bit to 2002 because we've got a documentarian named Anne McGregor picked up the case, like I said, in 2002 and said there are obvious limitations for historic cases, but using the latest technology, you can come to a different conclusion. And she's quickly dismissed theories like near
the
every
squid
theory.
All of the theories. She wasn't feeling the alien abduction, the colossal squid. Fair enough, Anne. We're with you on this one.
So she visited the captain's hometown in Massachusetts, and she...
Well, that's a bit of a tongue twister for you,
Massachusetts.
That.
And she interviewed descendants who didn't offer her any clues, which is a bit useful, but just they did say that he was experienced and respected in the captaining circles, you know.
So he was a respected man.
Respected man, good captain, that's what they thought of him. Now, taking into account during this vessel's journey, the water temperatures, wind speed, and wind directions at the time, a group of them came to the conclusion that the ship could sail without a crew from the last reported location on November 25th to December 5th. So when they thought the crew went missing, if they did go missing, it would be no issue for the ship to just carry on going forward.
Wow.
Yeah, even in that bad weather. So pretty interesting stuff. Now, this is where things do get a little bit more interesting. She had also learned recently that the ship had been refitted and the coal dust and debris from the refitting had likely clogged the pumps that remove the water that can make into even a seaworthy ship's bilge.
This part of the ship right here at the bottom, you know, the bottom of the ship, that's the bit that they're reckoning all the water pumps that usually get rid of the water out of there, they were blocked from this refitting that they had done. Mm-hmm.
So that would give them many reasons to have to actually jump off the ship. They've got no other choice. If water is coming in and their pumps are dusted, that's it. The ship is going down no matter what.
It's true. And not only that, but remember when they said they went on board and they saw 3.5 feet of water on there. And I guess if they thought, right, if we keep sailing this thing, like it's just going to keep building up with water. And we're essentially just slowly going to
It does
drown.
Make me wonder, though, because if it was still afloat when found, then they would have still been fine to not get off the ship and they would have been found. Or, you know, within days, could they not get to some mainland?
Or surely, or maybe even just keep going until the point where they're like, okay, this is actually about, like, we're on the verge now.
The water really couldn't have been flooding in that drastically if when the Degrassia found the ship, it was still fine and there was... Yeah, there was a few feet of water, but it wasn't sinking.
Maybe, did they just all of a sudden see it and start panicking and then just go, oh my God, we need to get off the boat ASAP, like that type of thing?
Yeah, maybe it initially was gushing in a lot and then it slowly just kind of stopped and maybe the pumps just started working.
You'd be fuming in it, like you've abandoned ship and everything just starts working again.
Yeah.
I guess with this theory, it isn't universally accepted and it's obviously not provable at all. Again, it is just a theory that somehow these pumps were clogged.
Yeah, it has a small bit of evidence that they've used, unlike some of the other theories like giant squid or the UFO.
We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on the theories here, just to give you a little update on the ship's legacy itself. It was actually taken back to New York, and because of the stories and the fact that people believe this was haunted by a ghost and a ghost was sailing this ship for like 10 days or whatever, the sailors just straight up refused to sail on this boat at all.
And how can you blame them? And now to this day at Nova Scotia, if that's how you say it, there is actually a monument commemorating the ship. So if you want to go visit it,
Head on over. It is actually kind of funny, though, the fact that the ship doesn't actually exist anymore, because it is a funny one. In 1885, the new captain, Captain Parker, wrecked her off the coast of Haiti as part of an attempted insurance fraud.
Telling you, man, this ship and insurance.
Something sus.
But yeah, guys, let us know your theories in the comments. For me, I don't know, the water pump one sounds good, but then you think about it and you're like, why didn't you just stay on the ship?
I'm going with the original one, the Degrassia. Jumped on board, chucked them all overboard, literally pirated it, and then we're like, oh, look at this boat that we found.
Personally, I'm leaning into maybe like alcohol explosion kind of thing. The fumes, they thought they needed to get off. That's why the lifeboat was gone.
Yeah.
But who knows? That's why it still hasn't been solved. But maybe one of you guys in the comments could go ahead and solve it.
We will catch you guys on the next episode. What do they need to do, Chip?
Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify. Hit the like button and turn on notifications so you don't miss an episode every Monday, 6 p.m. We'll see you all for another case.